and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, here with my co-host, Sarah. And today, we're talking about real social media news, and that we're talking about the actual social media things. Words.
So, news about social media, not just
news on about social media. So our first story is Facebook. Of course, Facebook is having a fun time, I'm sure, right now. Mark Zuckerberg, you know, testifying before Congress and the whole Cambridge Analytica thing.
Getting to be on C-SPAN. I mean, how exciting is that?
So,
I'm sure that's on everyone's bucket list.
So, no. Although I did love the memes about him testifying before, like, all these really gray-haired senators and all the memes of, like, Mr. Zuckerberg, why won't my grandson accept my friend request? Oh, those are all so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
But in response to the Cambridge Analytica situation, Facebook is now offering a $40,000 bounty if you find the next Cambridge Analytica. Just reading that, it kind of sounds like the Facebook version of, like, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
It does sound a little odd. So let's go over some of the details as to what that looks like.
Right. So what this is, and they keep using this word, it's a bounty program where if you find a case where a company or someone is using users' data inappropriately and let Facebook know, they may give you a reward anywhere from $500 to $40,000.
Oh, that is a huge amount of
difference.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be the one that I'd be like, I found this. Look. And it'd be like, oh, here's $50.
Right. And I mean, it's also, it makes me sort of question, because the rules, there's several rules for this before you even get any money whatsoever.
Mm.
So first, the case must involve at least 10,000 Facebook users, which, I mean, Facebook's a big program, so that probably wouldn't be too hard.
That's still a lot of people. I mean, so if it involves 1,000, that's not enough. I mean, that's still 1,000 people who are affected.
If it involves 9,500, that's still not enough.
Right. 9,999.
Still not enough. No money for you. But then you also have to show how the data was abused, not just collected, but actually abused. And then Facebook must not have already been aware of the issue. And those last two sound sort of like, they sound like get out free cards.
It sounds like a loophole, yeah.
Because how is the person who found this supposed to know how it was abused unless they're like a whistleblower from that the company or something?
Something. Can I tell you my favorite part about this story?
Hmm.
Is that the cases will be vetted by Facebook's bug and data abuse bounty team. I mean, I don't want to work on that team, but I would like business cards that say
in reading this whole thing, it kept making me think of, like, Dog the Bounty Hunter. And so I was like, is this going to be a new reality show that I will watch and then say I don't?
I would watch the first episode of that just to find out what the heck.
Well, and Facebook evidently already has a sort of bug bounty team, because it pays out an average of $1 million a year in bug bounties. But now, because of the whole Cambridge Analytica situation, it's now also going to be about data abuse. But it just still feels like if you tell Facebook these things, Facebook itself has to say, you know, whether or not it was abused and whether or not they didn't know it. And I think it would just seem really easy for them to be like, oh, we totally already knew about that. And then how can you challenge them on it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I don't know how, because obviously they're Facebook, so they're way, way bigger than any one person who's trying to report these things.
Right. And, like, what's with the price difference also? 500 to 40, is it by number of people or how long it's been going on or how ignorant Facebook originally was of it. Like, they didn't give like a price chart of what gets you what amount. It just was like, here's a huge range of things.
So I'm just picturing you and I find some breach or some, mm-hmm. you know, inappropriate use of data, and we alert Facebook and they vet it through their bug and data abuse bounty
team. You really like that name.
Well, that bug bounties, I think, is hilariously alliterative words. But so they're like, yes, this is a threat. We didn't know about it. We shall reward you. Stacy, here's $40,000. Sarah, here's $1,000.
Right.
That's just how I would picture my luck going, or something.
Or it would be $40,000 to split, even if it's like you and a team of 20 found right. it or something. Right. It's not $40,000 each of you. It's like, here, $40,000 total.
Right.
Which, when I first heard that number, I was like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to sneeze at $40,000. But at the same time, if you find, and the article did title this as like, find the next Cambridge Analytica. If you find the next Cambridge Analytica, I am sure that is way more than $40,000 worth of damage for Facebook.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like,
true.
You're going to give me $40,000 for this thing that I am guaranteeing you is in the millions for you? Like, really? Right. Millions of dollars worth of users' data here?
And we're preventing Mark Zuckerberg from having to go back to Washington and testify before Congress again?
Well, now you say it like that, I'm not sure we want to prevent him. I really do kind of want more me of him explaining Facebook to senators.
I'm sure those memes will last for a while.
Oh my gosh, it was just too, and you kind of expected it even when I first heard that Mark Zuckerberg had to go to before Congress to testify about this. I was like, hey, I get why it's him, because yeah, he's the face of Facebook, but do you really think he's at all really connected to this whole issue? Like, you think he was working on the team that just somehow didn't catch this? Really?
Right. Yeah, I don't know how any of that is structured, but
then I also was like, how many of the people in Congress actually know how to use Facebook, and it's not like their staffers do it for them?
Well, I haven't looked into this much further, but I did hear something about how the questions were different between the House and the Senate.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that the median age between those who were questioning between the House and the Senate was different. So the older contingent was asking different questions than the younger contingent.
Right.
Which I guess kind of makes sense, but I'm sure that's also kind of where the memes came from.
Right.
The older contingent was asking questions about like how Facebook works, or yeah. I did see
there was evidently something, and I can't remember now what the question was, that someone asked him a question that even sounded stupid, and he kind of like had to hide a smile about it.
Oh no.
That's like, of course, when you're testifying for Congress, do not smirk. Rule number one, do not smirk. But at the same time, if you're asking like a super basic Facebook 101 question, if you're the founder of Facebook, it might be very hard not to smirk about that.
Do you get like a you know, is it like when you go to meet the Queen and they give you a list of protocols? Do you get a list of protocols when you have to testify in front of Congress?
I imagine that your lawyers probably have one, but I don't know that Congress itself would be like, you know, say ma'am instead of mum. And I doubt Congress has that much, save for like, you know, you're not allowed to just get up in the middle of questioning and walk away, which is just typical for courts, period.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. Just this whole situation is, I mean, on the one hand, a really big problem with the ability to get users' data and to use that users' data in insidious ways, and to fake news and target elections and, you know, that whole thing. But at the same time, it also feels a little overblown. Just like, and I mean, I know that the Equifax person, I think, also had to testify before Congress, but that seems like a way bigger issue to me. And yet this is the one that seems to be getting much more news coverage.
Right. Well, because it's
Facebook.
And yeah. And it's got a young entrepreneur at the head, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure all of that kind of goes into, well, I'm sure it doesn't, it's not the main reason, but all these things factor in.
Right. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know how much, even with this, you know, bounty system, that you can really do anything to protect people from this. Like, more and more data is just out there. Like, I just go off the pretty safe assumption that my data is out there,
mm-hmm.
and people have it, and I just try and make it that, you know, they can't do things with it, or if they do things with it, I'm aware pretty quickly to put a stop to that.
Right.
But the idea that like, oh, my data must be protected just in case, it's like, no, that's too late. That horse is completely out the barn. Like, that's been happened.
But even with Facebook, if you aren't paying attention, you don't realize how often they're piracy, their privacy.
Well, maybe you said the right one the first time.
their privacy settings change. Mm-hmm. You know, right. it's almost like on a daily basis, you need to go in and check your privacy settings and make sure that they're as you would like them.
Yes.
Because I know that that changes very regularly. And I bet the average Facebook user just doesn't think about that.
Well, and I think it's also, there's not much of an alternative. Like, if you don't agree with the terms, there isn't a whole, I disagree with the terms, can we renegotiate button. It's either agree or cancel.
Right.
So if you don't agree, then you can't use whatever the product or service is, or, you know, download the song or sign up for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, so this is really all on whichever company's side, and I just kind of have to go along with it. And then when something happens, it's on my data, so sucks for me, but
right.
The company's just, nah.
Now, to be honest, though, in terms of like paying attention, when I do the occasional times that I click on one of those like quizzes or, you know, mm-hmm. which Hogwarts house do you belong in, or, you know, mm-hmm. if it says we want access to your public profile, that's one thing, because mm-hmm. that's public already. But if they want access to, we want access to your photos and this and that I have set to private, I'm like, no. And I usually back out of that. But I know a lot of people just click.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, and I think they proved that people don't read the whole thing of that, because there was one thing where they like were signing over their firstborn child or something like right. something completely just wrote fake things in their like agreement of terms thing. And so many people just clicked agree. And I do that too. Just clicked agree because it's like, do I really want to go through and read all this stuff in legalese that I probably wouldn't understand anyways for
right.
whatever I'm doing? So.
Right.
On the subject of privacy and terms, we will be talking not about Facebook, but about Instagram and users' data. So stay tuned to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Today we're talking about social media and data. Let's go with data.
Okay.
The data is the kind of the issue of the hour, I guess you would say, especially with social media. So sort of also in response to the Facebridge.
Oxbridge. We are doing well today.
Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal. Instagram now is going to allow users to download their data as well to see everything they've done. Which, on the one hand, I get this whole thing about downloading, just because, you know, especially if you use social media a lot, it's like, I don't remember what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I don't know how much the downloading helps of things.
Right. But I mean, I do get occasionally frustrated that I can't save a picture off of Facebook if I've, mm-hmm. you know, if I've uploaded it. Not that that's a huge deal. You know, right. you upload it on your phone, you can't save it from your computer, but you can, you know, there's mm-hmm. ways around that. But I don't know if downloading it, maybe I just don't use it enough. I can just scroll through my pictures and see what I've uploaded.
But I mean, I guess on the one hand, it's good to have a sort of backup in case anything happens or you need to make a claim for something later.
Mm.
Clearly not the biggest of social media users here, but the Instagram one is interesting because it seems to be not only in regards to the Cambridge Analytica scandal, but in regards to EU privacy laws, because the maybe it's not EU, but definitely European, has an upcoming privacy law on May 25th where companies will need the explicit consent of users before using their data. And they will have to be more specific about how they use the data.
Mm.
So part of this is the ability for users to download their own data, which it's kind of strange that also this didn't exist before. Like,
right.
I'm the one putting all this stuff on social media, but again, like, I can't get it back.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's in those things that you accept when you sign
right,
on,
evidently.
Which is crazy. Okay. So this is a European privacy law.
Mm-hmm.
Will that affect Instagram across the board, or will it affect Instagram users in Europe and not Instagram users in the States? How do you know how that might work?
I'm not sure. I don't use Instagram, but I do know that a lot of social media sites do have different sort of things set up for different countries. Mm-hmm. And like what you can do on, you know, the American site is not necessarily what you can do on, you know, the Iranian site or what have you. Definitely going to be in Europe. And with the outcry about Cambridge Analytica, I imagine if it doesn't come at the same time as the European one, it probably would come soon after. Mm-hmm. Because people, of course, would be like, I should have the right to see my own data. It's mine.
Right.
But yeah, not clear. I mean, and this is not even, they didn't even say when it was going to be available exactly. The law goes into effect May 25th. Right, and Instagram has announced that this is coming, but did not say specifically when.
Right. And usually laws go into effect and there's still that window of time
right.
before it actually goes into effect. So,
yes.
Huh.
But I like that this law, interestingly, for companies who don't follow it, they could face a fine of up to 4% of their annual global turnover, which I like that there's just even something that would happen mm-hmm. if they don't, because you kind of feel at the time it's like, okay, yeah, you really shouldn't do that. But if you don't do it, do you suffer at all? Like,
right. There aren't any consequences. So what right. does it matter?
So the fact that, you know, hitting them where which is where they care about, which is in the pocketbook, I really like that that's a thing.
Yeah.
But I also, it's just strange that, it just feels strange that this isn't a thing already, like with data privacy laws. And
well, like we talked about, I think maybe last week we talked about it, the technology and social media is changing so rapidly that I don't even think we quite realize, like kind of like what I was saying with Facebook earlier and all the privacy settings, I just don't even think we understand what's going on with social media and how it might affect us a week from now, 5 years from now, whatever, all the things that we put on social media.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely think things are changing very quickly, but at the same time, you know, internet and the ability to send really sensitive information over the internet as like a regular part of everyday life has been this way for at least like 20 years now, right? Since at least probably somewhere in the Amazon was what, 97, 90? I was clearly a child, so I was not paying attention to .com companies. But, you know, Amazon's been around for probably about nearly 20 years. So let's just go with at least 20 years. And the fact that it's still, we're just now passing laws about, you know, data privacy and what people who put their data on the internet have the right to and what responsibilities companies have for that feels a little slow.
Like, isn't that kind of always the way it is, though? Because the people who are paying attention are usually the people that have the money and the right. power, and they don't want these laws in effect. And so it takes something happening where the casual user suddenly says, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then there's the groundswell and people get upset, and then they can force the companies. But, you know, companies tend to not have great track records of policing themselves. That's not the phrase right. I'm looking for, but recognizing things that might be difficult or
they don't do it unless they see a benefit for them.
Yes thank you.
Yes.
Words.
And I mean, I guess that's also sort of like the thing we mentioned earlier with Equifax and that whole thing, and that a lot of people were upset not only because, hey, you made my data vulnerable and then decided to, if I signed up to see what it was, that I can't do a lawsuit against you.
Right. Sneaky, yeah, that was definitely mm-hmm.
But also even the fact that you're collecting all this data without my say. No one, I don't think, ever gave Equifax or Experian or TransUnion the right to be like, by all means, go ahead and collect anything about my loans and debts and
right.
all that with my Social Security. By all means, go ahead. Like, they've been doing that for years and years and years. And fine, I get that, you know, Social Security numbers are tied to the one person. And back in the day before you had the internet and that whole ability to steal ID theft, to do ID theft that easily, maybe this was a good idea, but to not even have to ask people about that, and then this affects your whole life of like your ability to get a loan or to get a house or even to get a job in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, but my whole future now is vulnerable because you, without asking me, collected this data and then didn't protect it properly. But with any of the repercussions for that, that's all on me.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing the number of times that we are asked for our social security number,
right,
but we aren't allowed to have the information that right. other people can have by getting our like for instance, you're applying for a job and they can do a background check, but in most cases you can ask for that background check. But there are times when they're like, nope, sorry, you can't see this information. It's like, it's my information.
Right. Or you have to pay for it if you want to see it.
Right.
And it's just like, I mean, I'm of the age that everyone's been telling me since at least I was like 15 that by the time I retire there will be no social security, so super right. fun for me. But it's just like, I feel we need something better.
Yeah.
In this age of everything's on the internet, some sort of better security system that's still tied to me as a person, that identifies me, but that is not so easily, you know,
right.
hacked or stolen or sold on the black web.
Right. This is slightly off topic, but it just makes me think of the one time I went to my hometown bank to talk about maybe getting a loan, and she was doing a credit check. And so she types in my social security number, and then she tilts the screen away so that I can't see it. And she like positions her body in it, and she's all sort of sketchy about it. And I'm like, hello, it's my information.
Didn't I just give you this?
Like, why are you being so weird?
I mean, on the one hand, banks definitely do have to do that. And when I worked at a bank, that was a big sort of balancing act of, okay, I need you to tell me info, but if you're calling about something you forgot, I'm supposed to help you, but at the same time, I can't tell you too much info if you're not actually you,
mm-hmm.
and then you can use that, but it's like...
Well, she knew it was seriously. Me. I was sitting in her office.
It's just like, oh, the way we do security and identity is just
yeah.
not smart and not intuitive and obviously not secure, so why yeah. are we still doing it this way?
I don't have an answer, but there's got to be one.
We're going to take a short break and see if we can come up with one real quick. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. We unfortunately have not solved the identity theft crisis. We tried really, really hard, but...
We brainstormed.
We need a little more time. But on a slightly...
Tune in next week. I'm sure we'll have some answers.
It'll be solved then. Next time on Batman. No. On a slightly different topic, and I think this is really interesting, it's come up that some of the most influential users on Instagram aren't real people.
Okay.
So maybe that's the solution to identity theft, is to not be a real person.
Are they artificial intelligence? Are they going to kill us? I just thought I'd go back to that theme that we had last week.
Oh my gosh. We are such downers. Artificial intelligence will kill us and all your identity is out there. We'll try to be peppier next week on Batman. But no, they're not artificial intelligence. They're created by real people, but they're not themselves
okay.
real people.
So it's like I go onto Instagram and I create a character
right.
that I then post as, but it's not really me.
Yeah, a bit like that.
Okay.
So the most famous one is Shudu, and I've actually seen this one and had a hard time looking at the picture, being able to tell whether or not she was real, because she kind of didn't look real, but she also kind of did look real, just really heavily made up to not look real. You know what I mean?
Okay.
The way some modeling campaigns are like not let's not try and look like reality, but look a little over the top.
Right.
Her makeup is very bold and vibrant, and therefore it looks not natural. And so it could very much be a real person just with really extensive makeup on.
Right. And in looking at the pictures, yeah, I agree. Some of them look very fake, and some of them look not so fake, and some of them look completely real.
Yeah, it completely threw me off when I first saw this. So Shudu is a 3D rendering of a human being. She's a black supermodel created by Cameron James Wilson, and he was evidently inspired by the Princess of South Africa Barbie doll, which I also didn't know was a thing.
I didn't either.
But she's actually, I think, modeled for a real fashion line. I don't remember what it was. And she has over 95,000 followers on Instagram.
She modeled for a real... How did that work?
They just... Digital?
They just digitized
put the camera,
her...
Put the clothes
their outfits.
On her?
Yeah.
It kind of, I guess.
So they knew she wasn't real.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, maybe. Maybe. I kind of wonder if some of the followers don't actually know she's not real.
Well, I just meant if she was modeling for that.
Oh,
you'd
yeah,
think the
them.
People with the, because there was no actual photo shoot.
Right. The fashion line probably does. The followers, maybe not so. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting that, you know, 95,000 followers on Instagram for someone who's not even real.
She does, in fact, look like the Princess of South Africa Barbie doll.
She does.
Yeah.
But just the fact that, I mean, obviously technology's gotten to the point where you can do this. It's not just, you know, really clunky Photoshop, but that you can create people who look real enough.
And I understand that it can, you know, it can be a challenge, and people have done all sorts of things to push the boundaries on computers since mm-hmm. we got them, but who has time? I mean, really, what's the is he monetizing this? Did he make money off of it?
Probably some of that too.
Somebody paid him for the modeling campaign.
But I think there's also, and part of the criticism that's come up for him is sort of this ability to create an idealized version mm-hmm. of a person, because part of the criticism for Shudu is that this is a very idealized black person with, you know, sort of Caucasian features, but black skin. You're creating, you know, your perfect black person doesn't really exist in the real world. Mm-hmm. And you've actually seen this in some films. So, like, I think it was Simone? I can't remember if that was the name of the film, but that was the character where he created the actress who was not real at all. And I kind of wonder how that works, since she's supposed to be acting theoretically, you know, opposite people, but she's not real. So, but, you know, this idea of what's a perfect person, or I remember, because, and this is probably telling my age a little, on the Disney Channel, there was actually a movie about this where the guy created the, like, lead singer for his band through a computer, and she was, like, a hologram or something, but it was sort of, like, picking and choosing different body parts from different women, so it's, like, this person's eyes, and this person's lips, and this person's ears to create your perfect person.
Right.
Which I think is probably part of the appeal of creating these not real people. But then at the same time, it's sort of exacerbating?
Yes.
The second one is probably the pronunciation, I mean. The problem of, you know, things on social media always appear super perfect.
Right.
When that's not the case.
Absolutely. This just, speaking of showing our ages, this just makes me think of the movie Weird Science, where they created the perfect woman and brought her to life.
We're showing our ages by our movie references.
Yes, we are.
But Shudu actually, I think, is interesting, because of the not real Instagram influencers, she's the one who looks most real to me, but she's not the one that has the most followers. There's actually another one called Little Michaela, who has over 885,000 followers. And that one, at times, definitely looks like a video game avatar. Like, not a bad video game avatar, not like a 90s video game avatar. Definitely, you know, more recent modern years. But still, like, I think in most pictures you can kind of tell, not real.
Right.
And yet, somehow, 885,000 followers.
So, what... That just makes me wonder what kind of, what are they posting? What kind of pictures are they posting that have made them so fascinating that they've gained this many followers?
Right. I mean, I wonder if part of the appeal is that this person isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
Just that you're following an ideal, or following an ideal that's still able to have an effect, I guess, maybe.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. As you start going into the other names, there's like Blocko and Lil Wavy. And more you can tell definitely, okay, not a real person, but then still has Instagram followers.
Right. Which makes me wonder if we've talked to some of the Instagram followers to say, hey, did you know this person wasn't real? What's the appeal? What were you, you know, that might be an interesting. Obviously, I don't have access to those Instagram followers, so I can't call them or anything. But
well, I mean, you might. Who knows? You probably could find it, and then someone would report you to Facebook and get $40,000.
For all I know, it's my neighbor, and I could just be like, hey, you follow Lil Michaela?
Right. But I found this also interesting fact that even just links, not even actual Instagram people, but the majority of links to popular websites are actually posted by bots.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I've seen, like, I know a friend who follows, like, the Shakespeare bot and then gets, like, random Shakespeare quotes at different times, which is kind of fun. But then, of course, you know, it says, like, Shakespeare bot or whatever. You know, it's just a robot program
right.
to send you whatever.
Right.
But most of these bots don't actually identify themselves as bots. And they're the ones linking to really popular websites. So, like, 2/3 of the links to popular websites are by bots. And it's just like, it's getting back to the whole issue of how can I trust what's right. on my screen?
Right. And there's, you know, there's all of those. We're not talking about Twitter on today's episode, but there's all of those Twitter accounts that are actually bots that are right. created and then they follow you, but they don't have any followers or, you know, they don't post anything. And I haven't quite figured out exactly what they do or
right.
if they're a threat or. Yeah, it's a science. We are living in a science fiction movie.
We are. And unfortunately, of course, and I think this is just probably like humans and human nature, that the moment any new technology comes along, people find a way to use it for either destructive and or annoying ways.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So like the majority of these bots are specifically created just to spam or troll or mislead you.
Exactly.
It's like it's not even like, oh, you know, some website's hiring this just for like advertising or something. It's like, nope, I am just going to be, you know, one of the worst things about the Internet. Have a nice day. She's like, gee, thanks. Awesome. I so need to follow that person back.
On that note, have a nice day. I'm one of the worst things about the Internet.
On that note, hopefully you will go and find some not terrible things on the Internet. And we will be hopefully talking about some of those in our next episode. So we'll see you again on the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.